This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Luke Lindberg. Luke is Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Affairs at USDA. We'll talk about the America First Trade Promotion Program and some trade missions that they're taking. That's all ahead. Speaking of trade, how about Argentina and the U.S.? President Trump says,
"We want to help Argentina, and we want to always help ourselves, but we want to help Argentina. And one of the ways we can do, they have great product. And we used to do a lot of trade, and then if you look at what the Democrats, well, they didn't know. They didn't know. Honestly, they didn't know what they were doing. But a lot of that trade disappeared. And they have great product. So we'll be trading with Argentina. And that'll be helpful to them, and it's helpful. It's good for us also."
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Our special guest today is the Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Affairs at USDA. It's the Honorable Luke Lindberg. Welcome to the show.
Tony, thank you for having me on today. Glad to be here with you and your listeners.
Now, you've put in quite a few miles here, and I guess that's part of the job description here, but for anybody who doesn't know what happens with trade and foreign affairs at USDA, is there an elevator speech for that?
Sure is. It's our responsibility, and President Trump, when he nominated me for this capacity, put in the actual post nominating me that we were going to go out and get smart trade deals for farmers and ranchers. And that's what we're doing. The president has embarked upon a historic change of course with respect to international trade and is out there opening up new markets each and every day all around the world. And as we begin to see those new markets open up, which we've had a lot of recently, USDA plays a critical role in helping make sure that our farmers actually get real sales done in those markets where we have new access. So I have to say the president opens the door for us here, and it's our drive to help job to help the farmer drive the bus through it.
Well, and some of that came with your work there at USDA, along with the Ag Secretary Rollins, on the America First Trade Promotion Program. What is that, and what's the idea behind it and actually driving that bus through?
Yeah, so America has always benefited from a agricultural trade surplus. We export more agricultural products than we import most years. Historically, that's been the case. And unfortunately, when President Trump took office this time last year, we were facing a $50 billion trade deficit in agricultural goods. So Secretary Rollins and I knew that working alongside the president, it was our job to get us back to a place where America is once again feeding the world. And as we embarked upon that journey, we released a three-point plan in the fall of last year to help bolster our agricultural exports. And one of the aspects of that three-point plan is the America First Trade Promotion Program, which puts $285 million into the marketplace for agricultural cooperator groups, the associations that represent our farmers and ranchers and help them promote their products, to get out there and create new sales. Now, we also began a new type of rapid response trade mission that we're calling Trump missions, trade reciprocity for U.S. manufacturers and producers, in markets where the president has created new access opportunities for our farmers and ranchers. And the last point of that three-point plan is that we are in the process of revitalizing one of our key export credit programs that really allows foreign buyers the chance to buy American if they want to, using some government support financing on exports. So we're in the process of doing all three of those activities right now to make sure we can put the trade deficit back into a surplus.
Our special guest is Luke Lindberg, Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Affairs at USDA. This is the Agribusiness Report.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, So we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
Let's talk about cotton research. Cotton Incorporated funds more than 400 ag research projects every year. They study cotton, engineering, economic development, entomology, agronomy, pathology, variety selection, expanded cotton seed uses. And that's just the start. You grow the cotton research and promotion program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest, Luke Lindberg, Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Affairs at USDA. Earlier, talking about the GSM 102 Export Credit Guarantee Program, and I'll be honest, I haven't thought about it in over 20 years because I remembered it being a part of a WTO challenge by Brazil when they were challenging the U.S. cotton program. But GSM 102, at the time funded through CCC Fundings, Commodity Credit Corporation, is there enough money to kind of drive the bus where you want to go in trade?
So Congress authorizes $5.5 billion of lending authority to the GSM 102 program, essentially allowing us to support up to $5.5 billion of American agricultural exports to different markets around the world. Unfortunately, the program hasn't really been updated recently in a way that makes it materially beneficial and usable in much of the world. About 95% of that credit right now goes to projects in the sort of Western Hemisphere, Latin America region. And we're looking at ways to bolster opportunities across East Asia, Africa, other places where we know there are growing populations of folks. So I was in Indonesia last week, and we announced the first step we're taking to revitalize that program by allowing a new type of repayment option that will hopefully allow us to increase our overall sales to the Indonesia and Southeast Asia region.
And, you know, I'm really was kind of surprised to see how big of an opportunity that Indonesia is, the world's fourth largest country by population, a rapidly growing middle class. And I guess that fits right in with these trade missions that you're doing. What about some of the others? Is Malaysia in there? I think you're considering the Philippines as well. Tell me more about your trade missions.
Yeah, we have an aggressive schedule this year of trade missions where we're pairing the agribusiness trade missions that USDA has always hosted, which typically is about six or seven markets a year, with our newly established rapid response Trump missions that are designed to take folks into markets where the president again, signs new trade agreements, opening up new market access. So we're basically doubling our efforts on that front, because the most important thing for us to get sales done and to put dollars back in farmers' pockets for the crops they're growing, the livestock they're raising, are to build buyer-seller relationships. And so at USDA, we have the opportunity to help facilitate some of those. I was in Malaysia just a few weeks ago, just in Indonesia this past week. The president just signed trade agreements with El Salvador and Guatemala. I'll be there in about a month's time. We will be taking a Trump mission to Vietnam shortly thereafter. And even later this early first quarter, we'll be headed to, actually it's in April, to the Philippines. So we are aggressively getting out there to facilitate sales opportunities and again, get those contracts signed, because a trade agreement is a good thing. It opens up opportunity, but the real win here is when we can get product sold, and that's what we're focused on in 2026.
And I know that you spent some time at the Export-Import Bank of the U.S. Does that also give you some insight as you make these trade missions and you've now got this GSM 102 program kind of in the back pocket?
It sure does. Yeah, I think, you know, most of my career has been in international trade, and particularly folks in the ag sector sometimes forget about the importance of making sure that the buyers of our products have the financing they need to choose American. I worked on that extensively during my time at the Export-Import Bank. One of the key challenges during the first Trump administration when I was at the Export-Import Bank was one of the ones that U.S. agriculture faces today, and it's diversifying our buyer mix, right? We oftentimes have been overly beholden to China as a buyer, and the more that we can build resiliency and new buyers into our overall matrix, it's an important aspect for us to be working hard on. If you go to any small business owner or any business owner out there and you say, would you like to have one buyer that you sell all your products to, or five or six or 10 buyers, I think most folks would like to have that 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 or more buyers out there. And it's the same thing with us. We can't be overly reliant on any one market. And so making sure that our foreign buyers who want to buy American have the financing they need is a critical component.
Well, we appreciate from agriculture's perspective what you're doing, what's happening there within trade and foreign affairs at USDA. We wish you the best and safe travels.
Thanks for having me on. See you soon.
Again, it's the Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Affairs, USDA, the Honorable Luke Lindbergh. And this is the Agribusiness Report.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today, Luke Lindbergh, Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Affairs, talking trade. Deal close with India. Arlen Suderman is with StoneX. Arlen, are you following this? And what are we doing when it comes to the U.S. and India?
We are following it. I don't think this is as clear what commodities might benefit. Now, we have sold quite a bit of soy oil to them over the past year, but that was largely because we had surplus oil available. We had increased crush supply to help with the biofuel program, but then the biofuel program pulled back because of lack of clarity on policy. So we had all this surplus oil, and they were there to kind of soak up the surplus of oil. But outside of that, they're not consistent buyers of oil. They generally buy a palm oil or something from Indonesia or Malaysia. So what will they buy? Wheat, they've been reluctant buyers of wheat. They certainly are not big consumers of beef or pork, so to speak. Might it be corn? We don't see a lot of demand for corn coming out of India either. So really trying to figure out, okay, just what commodities might they be open to? I have seen that they plan on keeping their farm protections in place, which help protect their farm prices, which limit imports. So while there's a verbal agreement with India, I think the lack of anything specific being released still has me concerned there.
That's Arlen Suderman with StoneX. Again, our special guest here today, Luke Lindbergh, Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Affairs at USDA. I'm Tony St. James, and you're listening to the Agribusiness Report.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
Takeaways from USDA's February crop reports by Chief Economist Justin Benavides, starting with sugarcane production.
This is the highest domestic production since 2020, and that's going to be on quite a bit of increase in the cane production, both in Florida and Louisiana.
Turning to global supply and demand estimates, the main focus was on Brazilian soybean production forecast.
They're in the north, they're moving into the heart of their production calendar, and then as we go south a little bit later, a little bit of dryness there in the south. And despite some of that dryness, even despite that, this is projected to be record acres, record yield, and record production.
With markets reacting favorably to the news shortly after its release, according to the chief economist. Also,
despite having fewer cows in the herd, the forecast in WASDE is for an increase in beef production. You can start thinking about this as potentially a signal that some folks are beginning to think about a potential retaining move.
I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.